And I want to welcome you to the podcast for this week. On the I Want to Know More podcast this week, we're continuing in our study of Psalm number 18, and we're going to pick up the reading here at verse number 4. All right, last week we started the study in Psalm 18. I picked Psalm 18 because it was the version of the song that was intended to be sung by the congregation and not just the one that was sung by David. We got down and started into verse 4 last week. We're going to continue and rewind a little bit to verse 4 because verse 4 and verse 5 are a couplet. They belong together. And so as we've studied this, and as I've studied it in the contrasting role between 2 Samuel 22 and Psalm 18, the more I studied the contrasts, the more the Lord impressed upon me that I needed to study what the meaning of the scripture was as I went along, and then deal with that using the Psalm 18 version, which again was intended to be sung by the congregation, not the recording of the one that was sung by David. But this psalm has a theme, I believe, and I believe that theme is he'll do it again. He'll do it again. No matter what has messed up, he can do it again. He will do it again. If we're open, willing, ready, and able, usable. That's the key word. We've got to be usable. We must be usable in order to, in order to be used by the Lord. And you know, that is the theme of this, is he'll do it again. But we've got to reach out. We've got to remember that he will do it again. I got down, did a little bit there in verse number 4 last week, but we're going to start there at verse number 4. Psalm 18 and verse 4, the Bible says, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me." All right. These belong together. These verses belong together. Now, if you're born again, if you're a child of God, you're never going to actually go to hell. You're never going to be in that lake of fire. You're never going to experience that second death. But if you have not done everything God told you to do when he told you to do it, there is highly likely going to be someone who is going to be at that great white throne and is going to look you in the eye, I believe, and is going to say something along the lines of what page 350 in the old Redback church hymnal. Although some of those church hymnals are greenback. I've got a couple of them. The old church hymnal from the 1950s, page number 350, the song says, "You never mentioned him to me. Nor helped me the light to see. You met me day by day and you knew I was astray. Yet you never mentioned him to me." I got to sing that song in a revival meeting back in 2009, February of 2009. I got to sing that song in a revival meeting down at Midway Bible Baptist Church, and I kind of put the pianist on the spot. I knew her, and I had grown up with her playing piano, and she was there, and the Lord led me to that song, and he led me to ask her to play it. And I called her out by name. I said, "Would you come play this song for me? I know you can play it." And so she did. She came up. In hindsight, I was surprised. I'm surprised in a way that she did. At the same time, the Lord must have been working on her end too. He must have been working on her mind and her heart. Because when she sat behind that piano, I looked, I said, "Page 350. And she nodded. And she lit into it, just like I knew she could. And she did it in a way I've never heard any other pianist play it the same way that she did. And I'm so thankful to Sister Pat Owen that day playing that song for me. And I believe it was a Tuesday night. I don't remember that for sure, but I think it was a Tuesday night that happened. And the Lord worked in that song. The Lord worked in my heart, if nobody else's, in that song. You never mentioned him to me, nor helped me the light to see. You met me day by day, and you knew I was astray, but you never mentioned him to me. I wonder how many of us are going to experience the sorrows of hell compassing us about as we look upon these sinners that we should have witnessed to, the sinners we should have been good witnesses to. Some of them more than likely will look at us and say, well, you didn't act like you were a Christian. Well, we shouldn't act anyway. We ought to be a Christian. Just like King Agrippa told Paul in the book of Acts, he said, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. We should not act like Christians. Acting means we're playing a fiction. We're playing a fictional part, and we're playing a part not being a Christian. There's a difference between acting like Christians and being Christians. And we need to be Christians, not act like it. But I'm afraid the sorrows of hell are going to compass us about as we watch people, loved ones maybe, acquaintances, co-workers, classmates, friends, just brief acquaintances. You know, I remember years ago going to sing to at a place with a group, and when I went to go into the store to get a drink, one of the other members of the group looked at me and says, you know, the lady that's behind that counter, I don't think she's saved. Would you witness to her? And I went in, and I was nervous. I could feel there was a burden going on. I could feel that there was convicting power there. And I didn't say anything. I got my drink, and I didn't say what I should have said. And then I made an excuse for it when I got back out to the vehicle. And I have wallowed that ever since. I don't know who the lady was, didn't know her name, probably wouldn't recognize her, and it's been 30 some odd years ago, probably 36 years ago at this point, since that occurred. So that lady may not be alive anymore. I just hope somebody witnessed to her. I should have. And didn't. I should have, but didn't. And I will face that. I will face that at the judgment seat of Christ. You say, preacher, why are you admitting to that? Let me tell you something, folk. I'm going to admit to the fact that I am not perfect. I'm going to admit to that. Like Paul says, I glory in infirmities. Well, the greatest infirmity of them all is fearfulness. Fearfulness, that's the greatest infirmity of all. And when the Lord leads you to witness and you don't, then their blood's on your hands. It is. And the sorrows of hell will compass you about. You won't experience it, but you'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you should have witnessed to that person as they cry out, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you take that moment? I was ready. I was ready to accept him, and you didn't tell me. The sorrows of death compass us about. The sorrows of hell compass us about. I believe that's what that's referring to. Missed opportunities to witness. Even in those circumstances, the Lord will do it again. I've been led to witness since then and have witnessed some. I wish I could say I'd witnessed to everybody the Lord nudged my heart towards. But it was a long time before the Lord nudged my heart to do much of anything after that. It was a while. It was a while. The Lord had nudged my heart and I disobeyed. And it was a while before the Lord nudged my heart again. He uses those who will be usable. And he'll do it again. But it may be a while. There may be chastisement involved. There may be some issues that you have to deal with involved. The snares of death prevented me. What does that mean, prevented? The snares of death hindered me. They tried to hold me back. See, here's the problem. As we grow in this grace of God that we have, as we grow in Christian living, as we grow in Christ, we're going to make mistakes. David certainly made his share of mistakes. We're going to make mistakes. I've made more mistakes than I'd care to count. Now, I'm going to make an account for every single one of them. Every single mistake I ever made, the Lord's going to remind me of. And it's going to be burned like wood, hay, and stubble when I get before the judgment seat of Christ. Guaranteed. I'm going to revisit these things. And things that I've forgotten at this point in my life, the Lord's going to bring up and say, look, looky, here's what you should have done. Why didn't you do it? And I'll have to give an account. And the Lord knows I ain't going to be able to lie my way out of it, that's for sure. You ain't going to make excuses. You're just going to say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me, Lord. Well, you're forgiven. But look what it did. Look at the consequences on other people. The problem is, when you do make mistakes, you got to get up and get back to work. When you make mistakes, it's kind of like if you're playing an instrument. The last thing you want to do when you're playing an instrument is to be in the middle of playing something and then make a mistake and stop. No. Keep going. Go past the mistake. Pick it up again where you know where you're doing and what you're doing, and run with it and flow through the mistake. I remember watching a movie one time. The movie is called Sing a Song for Heaven's Sake, and it's a feature-length film about a gospel singing in a church. And there's several groups that are singing in the church. And one of the groups is the Blue Ridge Quartet. And they're singing the spiritual, I Want to Go There. And as they're singing this spiritual, they get started. And the baritone is leading that portion of the song. And he mistakenly goes to sing the repeat instead of the lead. Now, they had multiple camera angles, but they were in two different takes. And it's pretty obvious they were in two different takes. There was a close-in camera angle, and there was a wider shot. And the framing was such that you could tell that they were two different takes taken at different times. But the baritone singer, he's supposed to sing, I want to go there. And the repeat is, go there. And he's used to singing the repeat as a baritone instead of singing the lead. And so he misses the lead and makes a gesture and shakes his head. The next thing you know, he's singing the lead in a close-up. And it was, you know, they probably just ran out of budget to retake it. That's what happened. When you're doing a film on a budget, every take costs money. And so they ran with it. And if you know where to look and when to look and what to look for, it sticks out like a sore thumb. But I had watched the film probably two or three times before I caught it, because it's subtle. But now, if you had just stopped, then it would be obvious. If you make a mistake, keep rolling with it and deal with it later. That's one of the reasons why I pre-record my broadcasts, is so that if I make mistakes, I can start over. Because you can't do that live. You make a mistake, you mispronounce something, you say something real funny, or say something that is really not appropriate, which happens sometimes. Sometimes your tongue will get tangled and words will come out funny, and mine will for sure. Oh, goodness. My problem is I play around that way. I do it on purpose sometimes, not when I'm preaching and not when I'm recording a broadcast, but I do it on purpose. with my family and friends and, you know, at work, and I'll make puns and jokes. Well, that works okay there, but not from the pulpit, it don't. You can absolutely quench the Spirit of God, both from a, did he say what I just think he said, point of view, to a, did he say what I think he just said, point of view. It can be comical or it can be tragic. And I've heard both. I've heard both. And I've heard it on the radio. I've heard it from behind the pulpit live. You gotta run and flow through it. And that is what David has learned. Even in the mistakes, you make the mistakes, you get chastised, you get up, dust yourself off, and keep running for the Lord. So you tripped. So you skinned your knee. Yeah, it's going to take a little while for your knee to feel like running. But you can walk fast. You can keep going, and when your knee heals up, you can run again. Sometimes the Lord has to sideline us for a little bit to let us heal up. That's what happened to me when the Lord didn't nudge my heart to do much of anything after that incident that I mentioned earlier. He didn't lead me to do much of anything. But then he started leading me to do stuff and nudging my heart again. And it was welcome. I haven't been perfect by any means. But I have tried to get back up and run with it. Keep going. Keep running. Just like the other song in the Redback book says, if you're in the battle for the Lord and right, keep on the firing line. The chorus goes, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run, nor even lag behind. That means run away, retreat. If you would win for God in the right, keep on the firing line. You may miss. You may have some close calls with the enemy. But stick to it. Stick to your guns. And that's what this psalm is about. Even when David made mistakes, even when David made mistakes that caused the very sorrows of hell. I mean, consider what he had just gone through with Absalom. Consider what he went through with Amnon and Tamar and what he was going to go through. Consider he's getting ready to go through a tough battle in the flesh. And I mean tough. And then his son's going to rebel against him, one of his sons. So that's three sons that have rebelled against him and gone way afar off field because of his own sin now, mind you. It was his sin. It was consequences for his sin, and he knew it. But did he give up? He wanted to. He almost gave up with Absalom, remember? He was ready to let Absalom defeat him. But Joab said, get up, be a king. Otherwise, it's worse than when Absalom fell, when Absalom rebelled against you. If you keep saying you would have rather of us died than Absalom. And David got up, he straightened himself up, and he sat in the gate. And that was what he had to do. Even in the midst of stuff like that, the Lord was still with him, and the Lord never forsook him. He never turned his back on him. Verse number 6, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry became before him, even into his ears. You cry, he heard, and it came into his ears. Then the earth shook and trembled, the foundations also of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth. Wroth with who? Well, wroth with David, yes, but also wroth with the enemies. The wrath that he has for your sin, if you're a born-again Christian, is nothing compared to the wrath he has with the people who would try to down his beloved and his Christian people. Let me tell you, he might get a little angry with you. He might wax a little hot with you. And he might take you out to the spiritual woodshed and give you a spiritual whooping. But he's loving you the entire time, and he's ready to accept you back. But when you're an enemy of the Lord and you're not born again and you're messing with his people, he ain't going to put up with that. He gets wroth. He gets really angry then. He gets fighting mad. And that's something that we need to consider. He will help us. He will give us strength. And he will deal with the enemy. Well, he's going to have to deal with us too, but it's a different kind of dealing. And the deal, when he deals with the enemies of the people of the Lord, the earth shakes, trembles, the foundations of the hill move and shake, because he was wroth. Verse number 8, then went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly. Yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. Ha ha. He came down, he showed himself mighty, and he helped you. And he'll do it again. He'll do it again. There's times in my life I know that he squelched the enemies of the Lord and helped me. I know there is. I know there's been times that he's done that. And he's helped me. He's chastised me. But that chastisement is nothing compared to what he's got for the enemies of the Lord. He made darkness his secret place. His pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. As the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. The Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice. Hailstones and coals of fire. Notice that's repeated. Hailstones and coals of fire. Does that remind you of something? Maybe in the book of Revelation, talking about a hail? Yeah, it's talked about three different times. There's three different places that same hailstorm is mentioned in the book of Revelation. Three different places. And it's the same hailstorm. In one of those places, it's hailstones of a talent and weight mingled with fire. Coals of fire and hailstones. How do you get that together? Well, volcanic eruptions can cause that. You can have hot ash bombs. Yeah, hot volcanic bombs that are scalding hot, burning hot, red hot, maybe even molten drops of lava hot. And the way the volcano works, it generates its own weather. And it can be so severe that you can get lightning, you can get rain and thunderstorms, and you can get mighty hail. Yeah. You can get hailstones out of a volcanic thunderstorm. And so you can have hot bombs of pumice along with hailstones falling at the same time. Now, a hailstone that's weight of a talent, now that is something that's never been seen before and won't be seen afterwards. There was never a hail storm like it before, and there never will be another one like it since. And here we have twice. He's going to eventually destroy his enemies. Now that's at the end. He's long-suffering. He's giving people space. He has grace in giving people space to repent right now. But one day, there's going to come a hell storm from another world. And I want to thank you for listening to the podcast for this week. I Want to Know More is a podcast ministry of Brother Lamar Owen. I'm out of the Macedonia Baptist Church located in the Silverstein community of Transylvania County. To correspond with me, please email broadcast@lamarowen.net. Again, that's broadcast@lamarowen.net. And join us here again next week for I Want to Know More.